Is Carol downstairs? She's. Okay. See, I have a confession I have to make this morning. I have a woman in my life who is controlling and jealous. It's not Carol. It's not Carol. Now are you worried? Are you more worried or less worried? You may not know who this woman is exactly. You've probably heard of her. Her name is Siri. Right? And I could tell you, we're finding ourselves at odds with one another quite often. I'm a fairly rational person. I like to think that, you know, I'm not too neurotic, not too paranoid. But I get the sense that Siri is listening to everything I'm saying, and then she uses that against me. Like for instance, like this is just weird, right? I get in my car in the morning, right, and I put my little phone right up on my dash here in a little holder. I start up my car, and I have all the intention in the world of going to the ATM. But then Siri's like, no. You're going to the church, and I'm going to tell you how to get there. And I'm like, how do you even know what I'm even in the car, Siri? I'm like, no, Siri, no, I'm going to the ATM, right? And that just starts the fight, because as we're driving down the road, Siri will do stuff like this. Well, she'll go, I said work, U-turn. Finally, I'm like, fine, get back on the route. And she's like, oh, hey, who's Sarah and why does she want to be your friend? Those of you who have Facebook know what I'm talking about, right? And I look over at her like, Siri, come on. I don't know who Sarah is. Why don't you send her a birthday wish while you're at it? Come on, Siri. What's going on? You're listening to everything. You're trying to control me. And then it got worse. Because Siri started to suggest that I buy things online. Yeah. Now, here are some things that let you know that Siri's listening to you, okay, for sure. I got this suggestion from Siri that I purchase a 30-day plan to grow bigger calf muscles. Anybody else getting that advertisement? Oh, it's just me? I wonder why. Thank you, Siri. How does she know? She's listening, controlling. Apparently, she thinks that I need to buy one other piece of equipment, something called Jawsercise. Oh, I saw one head nod for Jawsercise. You guys ever seen this thing? Oh, yeah, this was suggested for me. It's a ball that you put in your mouth. Now, I get that in the moment, you might want me to gag myself, right? But it's a ball you put in your mouth. Yeah, like a golden retriever, right? You buy it, you fetch it, you put it in your mouth, and you chew on it. Like that, for 30 minutes straight. Siri suggested I buy this. Now, I looked, and it turns out that this product builds itself as a, quote, non-invasive facelift. She's right. Who said that? Non-invasive facelift to remove wrinkles, firm up facial muscles, and I love this last one, even regrow hair. Now, I was tempted to get out the duct tape and silence. Right, turn off the notifications. Say, forget you, Siri, I'm done. But then I think she felt bad about that last one because she suggested something that made sense for me. She goes, hey, I've got an idea. Why don't you buy some polos? And Carol and I had been talking about buying some more polos for my wardrobe, right? And I'm like, well, I'll take a look at them. Took a look at what she suggests, and I thought, oh, man, these look good. They're on sale, right? So I bought them, and wouldn't you know it, I love these polos. Thank you, Siri. Thank you, Siri. Now, after buying these polos, every 30 seconds online, she's like, hey, you'd look great in this. How about that over there? Why don't you try this on? I'm like, Siri, enough. Enough. What's she trying to do? Well, she's trying to tell me to go somewhere to do something all the time, and it's up to me as to whether or not I follow those leads. And I got to our passage for today, and I listened to Jesus' sales pitch to these guys who are fishing, and I thought to myself, is that it? I mean, really, is that it? In that time period, it was something to have a stable career, man. Having an extra mouth to feed was a big deal. Big deal. These guys all had stable careers. They had been fishing for their entire lives. Any kind of stability would be welcome. And then Jesus just says, follow me? Listen to this passage. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to me, follow me and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I will make you fish for people. Did they have any idea even what that meant? This was Jesus' hook? Pun intended. Yeah, thank you. How does that even work, right? How does that even work? And I started to ask myself some questions, like, would this work on the farm? Would this work on the farm for those of you who are farmers? Like, I tried to imagine, like, Marcus. Marcus, right? Doing work on the farm and then looking over at dad saying, hey, somebody said, come follow me. I'm out. Would that work? I kind of doubt it. Marcus is like, it's worth a try. Don't do that. Don't do that. It was a lot more fun for me to consider the Wagners trying to get away with it. Right? Sitting there thinking to myself, that doesn't work, right? Interestingly, when Zebedee is left in the boat, their father, he doesn't even put up a fight. It's not mentioned. I tend to think that maybe, just maybe, Zebedee was ready. The very first sentence in this passage might be the most important. And it states, after John was arrested. After John was arrested. It just stated so quickly, so muted, you could just go right by it. Not even see it. Because John is instrumental in understanding what's happening right here. You see, in the book of John the Baptist was standing with some of his disciples, and Jesus walked by, and he testified about Jesus. The next day, he's standing there with two other disciples, Andrew and Peter. Right? And then he announces, look, the Lamb of God. And when Andrew and Peter heard this, they went and followed Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. They proclaimed, we found the Messiah. And this is what's great. I want you to think about this a little bit. Imagine spending time with Jesus himself, the Son of God, teaching, advising. Imagine what would happen in your heart as you listen to his words. That's what happened in Andrew and Peter. They had been waiting thousands of years for the Messiah, hundreds to hear anything from God. Here they find Jesus. They talk to him. They have this amazing time. And then in today's passage, what happens? They find themselves back in their boats fishing like they had done every day for forever. How do you get excited about anything else after meeting with Jesus. I mean, what's Andrew going to do? Look, Peter, a carp. What are you going to do? Down the way a little bit, two other brothers, James and John, with their father Zebedee, and I get the sense that they had heard John preach as well. And even if they hadn't heard John preach, I bet that Andrew would have gone down and announced Jesus to them anyways. They too hear about the Messiah here and now. They would have talked to that whole group of fishermen, including Zebedee, and I think that in all of them, there's something sparked inside of them, just simmering, wondering what's coming next, wondering if they can be a part of it. And what are John and James doing? They're mending their nets. That has to be worse than actually fishing. That's like getting your line caught in a tree and having to unravel it, right? This is the epitome of anticlimactic for these guys. Look, I can relate to some degree, not fully, but to some degree, when I was a part-time pastor and I was in retail banking, because I would sit there at my desk and I'd keep scriptures right next to my other work so I could read a scripture and then make notes as I had thoughts throughout the day. And I loved doing that. And then there was retail banking, right? Ring, ring, ring. Hey, welcome to the bank. Yeah, your account is negative $806. Yes, there is $239 worth of fees. Have a nice day. Click. I can tell you that my heart burned to be doing something else. Burned. I was simmering. See, Jesus didn't need anything more than this at the right time. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's all that he needed. That's it. John made the way straight for Jesus. He brought the spark. Jesus fanned the flames. And these four sat there in their boats, desiring with everything they had in them to be a part of what Jesus was doing. I couldn't imagine what it was like to sit in those boats, waiting until Jesus said, follow me. You see, it's not that what they were doing had no value at all, and they're fishing, and they're supporting their families. That's not it. They just need to be a part of something that caused their hearts to truly burn. See, now here's kind of how I feel people are at. For the last number of years, I almost get the sense that in isolation and through this pandemic, that a lot of us have felt like we're in boats and oftentimes alone. It's kind of floating out there. We want to be active. We want to be getting stuff done, right? We want to be serving our church and our community and God at the same time, but we just kind of feel like we're out there, something simmering inside of us. And we've been held back because of all of that the pandemic has caused us to face, and we're waiting for this moment for Jesus to call us and simply say, follow me, follow me. I have talked to so many people who say, where are we going? What are we doing? What's the next step? What is that? That's God simmering. How do we serve? What do we do now? That's God simmering. That's your heart burning, yearning for something more. And the whole sermon here is designed around this one point. Listen, be ready. If your heart is simmering, if there's something inside of you that says, I need something more. I need to serve more. I need to share more. I need to read more. Listen for that simmering sales pitch, that one moment where Jesus says to you, now's the time. Follow me. Then you'll be on your way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe that our hearts simmer,
that there are places you want to take us. We don't know exactly where, just like these brothers fishing. All we know is that there's something inside of us that needs to follow you when you say the word. Help us to take these hearts of ours, and this passion, and listen. It's an indication, Lord, that you're about ready to do something.